I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about. You're going to say, oh, God, we hear about that all the time. But it'll be a little bit different tonight. I want to talk about forgiveness tonight, and I want to talk about not us forgiving others, and talk about us forgiving us. I'm going to look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 scriptures. It's not going to take long to do it. And one point I want to correct and look at, because we've talked about it a lot, and let's see what we've got. And you can write down your one. I'm looking at Acts 3 and 19, Hebrews 8 and 10, 2 Corinthians 5 and 9 through 10. And then we're going to go to Matthew and Luke, and we'll be finished for tonight. And I'm not going to take a lot of time in any of them. I thank God for having Elwood Sewell and Lila DeValle out tonight. And let's see, who else? Have Antoine in tonight. And probably a few more people before we finish. Hello, T. Angeles. Good to always see you. And Pastor Jenkins, praise the Lord. Elwood Sewell, Tony, and Crystal. Let's start off by Acts 3 and 19. I don't want to start in Acts 3 and 19. I want to start off in 2 Corinthians 5 and 9. Let's start off in 2 Corinthians 5 and 9 tonight. And some things I'm going to correct that we talk about a lot, and maybe you're going on with me. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 9, and it says in that, whether we labor, that whether present or absent, we be accepted of him, wherefore we labor. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. That's one scripture. And when we talk about this scripture, a lot of people I've heard preach and teach it many, many times, and they'll say to you, when you get to heaven, you're going to have this big screen, and you're going to have to answer for the things that you've done, all the evil things that you've done, the bad things you've done. And that's a misunderstanding, because when he talks about this in the second chapter of Corinthians, Paul is talking about us going to heaven, and he's talking about us in our bodies. And the point that's being made here is that whether you show up in the rapture or in the resurrection, or whether you show up 1,000 years later, he's talking about everybody, because everybody is going to stand before God, saved or unsaved. But I want us to get out of the notion that even though you're saved and you've asked God to wash you and cleanse you of all your sins, that somehow or another when you get to heaven, they're going to be brought up again.
No.
Because they're not. Either they're blotted out or they're not.
Yes.
So I want to look at, first scripture I want to look at tonight is in Acts 3 and 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. And if I'm able to, I'll probably switch between several Bibles tonight, between King James Version and New Living Version. But tonight I've read all of them, and they're pretty close, and so we won't have to worry about a whole lot of wording tonight. But Acts 3 and 19. And I think I'll read it in probably King James first, and then maybe I'll read it in another one. Acts 3 and 19. And Peter says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent and be converted. In other words, there needs to be a change. When they were asking him, what do we need to do to be saved? I like the Amplified Version. And it says, so repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret the past sins, and return to God to seek his purpose for your life, so that your sins may be wiped away, blotted out, completely erased, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, restoring you like a cool wind on a hot day. And it goes on. And then we'll read the New Living Translation, like I said, this is pretty easy to do. It says, now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Okay, so you get the point here. That when you're in God, you need to have a change of mind.
Yes.
You need to repent. Change your mind about it. Now, in this particular verse in Acts, the third chapter, Peter is talking about when people are first saved, how they come to be saved at all. Change your mind. In other words, take a look at your past sins and things. But the key that I want to deal with tonight is not just that, because we are here. I want everybody to understand that when God forgives sins, he wipes them out. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. And Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. And I'm in King James Version again. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, saith the Lord. And he's talking about after the law. And let me see if I can explain this. Sometimes it's difficult talking about this because I don't know what everybody's background is. But until the time of Jesus, they lived under the law, and everybody understands that. And there's a lesson that I'm doing here in Promise, and I'll bring it up. But for right now, I'll just tell you a part of it because I wrote it down on a piece of brown paper the other day the Lord was giving to me. There's a difference between being constrained and converted.
Yes.
And the law constrains. I know that in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes that the love of God constrains us, but that's in a different, context. But the law holds you in place. You know, it works to make you do things, whether you like them or not. It constrains you. In the wilderness, the Jews were constrained by the law. The law kept them and held them in check and had a serious penalty. If some of the things they could do was death, and some of them they would just be put out completely and separated and whatever. And for fear of this, the people obeyed the law. Conversion means that I have a change of mind. I stopped doing wrong because I now know it's wrong.
Yes.
And I see it differently. Now I see it like God sees it. So in Hebrews, when Paul talks to them, he says, we have a new covenant. You're not going to be under the law anymore. There's not going to be a law telling you that remember the Sabbath, or otherwise you're going to be killed.
Yes.
You're not going to have a law that says, you're not going to be under a law, a constraint that says to you, thou shalt not kill. It's not that it's going to be all right to kill, but when Jesus comes, he's going to simply say, God does not want you killing people. It's the wrong thing to do, and you're going to have to go by that.
Right, yes.
Pure and simple. Now, and I know we have civil laws against murder and all that. Doesn't stop anybody from murdering.
Yes, that's true.
You know, we have laws against robbing. Doesn't stop anybody from robbing. You see the problem with the law?
Yes.
But what can stop you from being a murderer if God can get you to see that murdering people is wrong? And what can get you to stop being a robber if God can get you to see that robbing people is wrong?
Wow. Yeah.
And if you were a robber, and when you come to God, and after your conscience is purged, you come to find out that it's wrong, you know what you do? You repent.
Yes. Yeah.
And you ask God, Lord, please forgive me for all these robberies I've done.
Yes.
And maybe I'm not able to go back and pay back everybody I robbed. And because of the way the world is, I might not be able to go back and do that. But at least I want the Lord to know, you know, I was wrong for doing it. I'm not going to do it anymore. And when God sees that, God blocks that out.
Yes.
And then there's another scripture I'm looking at. That was Acts. What I do so far? Acts 19. I did Corinthians. And I did Hebrews. There's one more that I won't have you turn to, but when you have a chance, it's in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and it says that though your sins be as scarlet, or though they be a bright, vivid red, he make them white as snow.
Yes.
And it didn't say he'd make them pink. In other words, he'd get it all out.
Yes.
And this is important for people to know. It's important for you to know that when you get to heaven, if you arrive with all the people who are saved, because everybody who goes up in Christ's church is going to be without spot and without wrinkle.
Yes.
Your sins will be forgiven.
You yes.
washed, but you have to do something. You have to ask God to forgive you. It's not automatic like some people think. Why not ask God to forgive you of all your sins?
Yes.
And the Lord will wash you and cleanse you, and he blots them out. And when God blots them out, he takes them out of existence. And the people who don't understand this, or the people who are saved who still say, well, when I go
When I get to heaven, they're going to still show all these things I did. You're right in there with the same people who say, you better love me and you can't go to heaven. You can't make somebody love you.
No.
It's a silly thing to even say. You better do nothing. You have to have the heart and the mind to do that. We can't. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll run around pretending that you love everybody, but you got a whole lot of things going on. And what we do is, when we have the sort of situation where we try to make what you need to do in God be a law, we really, what we do is, it's like we make you, instead of cleaning out a wound, we like to dress the wound with all the germs and dirt in it, and it festers.
Yes.
And we need to open up and say, hey, you know, when the Lord washes you, you are clean. When the time of refreshing comes from the Lord, you are clean.
Yes.
But even more so, each one of us, we have to decide ourselves. And now we start going to our examples. And two examples. This is, might be very short tonight. Praise His holy name. First example I'm going to go to, two people you know. One's Peter and the other is Judas. And I want to look at, since the first one's in Matthew, the 27th chapter, and we'll look at Judas for a minute. Jesus tells the disciples during the Last Supper, he says to them, he says, all of you are going to be offended of me before this night's over.
Yeah.
In other words, he says, you're going to be ashamed of me. And he doesn't necessarily mean angry like we use the word offended, or ashamed like we, or embarrassed like we use the word ashamed. He meant that you're going to be afraid.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose your courage and your faith in me before the night's over. When they dragged me away, up until now, you haven't been afraid of anything, the Romans, anybody else, because you see my power. But when they dragged me away, you're going to be afraid tonight.
Yes.
And you're going to lose your faith and your confidence. That's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
You're going to lose your confidence in me tonight.
Yes.
And all of you, you're thinking you're going to stand, but really what you're standing on is, you're standing because I'm with you. And that's not a bad thing. We're standing because Jesus is with us.
Yes.
And if God should leave us, I sure would lose my
confidence. Yes,
I would.
Yes.
I'd be very afraid. If I sensed that the Holy Ghost was no longer with me, I would be very afraid.
Yes.
And he said, tonight before it's all over, all of you are going to be very, he says, smite the shepherd, the sheep shall go astray. In other words, when they grab me, you're going to be scattered.
Yeah.
And Peter makes a bold statement. He says, well, no, I go with you even unto death. Well, the Lord says to Peter, you know, okay, I know you better than you think. And tonight, and it's going to be so bad. It isn't just one of these deals of saying, well, I know you better, you know yourself. You know, we like to say that about, I know you better, you know yourself. No, Jesus knows also the prophecies, and he knows what's going to go on, and he knows how scary it's going to get.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes when you don't have any fear, I walk through the commissary from time to time, and I'll see women who will walk away from the basket and leave their purse in the top of the basket, and, you know, being a security person forever. And it's open, and the purse is laying there, and the wallet's laying there. You know, they're trusting souls. They have no fear.
Yeah.
But if you were in Philly, you would not only not have your purse in the basket, you'd have it on your shoulder, under your coat, wrapped around your belt, clothes, locked down, and everything else. Because you know there are people who steal. There are people who steal here, too. You just haven't ran into one of them yet.
Yeah.
And Jesus says to Peter and all of them, he says, you're going to be really afraid tonight. And he lets Peter know. He says, "You before the night's over, before the chicken crows, the rooster crows at dawn."
Yeah.
And he's simply saying, "Before tomorrow morning, before sunup, you're gonna say you don't even know who I am."
Right. Yes.
And so he says this to all of them, and then we look at Matthew first, but we'll look at Luke first since we're talking about Peter. I'll do him first. And that's in Matthew. And that's Matthew chapter 27. And you can hold your place in Luke because I'm going right back there. Matthew 27. And
see, 27 and 1. No, that's Judas. Yeah. What do I want? Luke 22.
No.
Okay. Forgive me. Elder Sewell's going to call me up and rebuke me for jumping around. But since I'm in Matthew 27, I won't have you go there. Matthew 27 and 1. And when the morning came, all the chief priests and elders and people took counsel against Jesus and put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, or changed his mind, or had remorse. He felt like it was the wrong thing
to do,
which was the right mind to have.
Mm-hmm.
When he saw what was happening to Jesus, I don't know what he thought was going to happen, but when he saw what did happen, he changed his mind.
Yeah.
And we can let Judas get away with this because, quite frankly, many times we think something's going to happen. When it doesn't work out like we think it is, we change our mind. And he said, and Judas, which betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again to the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See, down to them, they said, we don't have anything to do with that. That's your problem. That is your problem. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Well, Elizabeth, why did he cast down the silver and go and hang himself? It's because when Judas found out he was wrong, you know what the problem was? He expected to be validated by the people. You know how when you do something wrong, one of the reasons why you're afraid to come back, one of the reasons why you're afraid to go on, you're concerned that the people will accept you and say that you have repented.
Yeah.
And you're looking for the, and we're looking among the people to see who's going to accept our repentance and who's going to say, well, I think he's saved now. And I think he's back now. And when Judas went to the temple, which was their leader, and told the priest, I was wrong, I think he probably expected them to say, well, go bring a bullock.
Yeah.
Go bring a lamb. Yeah. Go do something so that you can see, because by leaving Christ, he went back under the law.
Yeah.
And when he came to them, they said, hey, that's your problem.
Yeah.
And since they weren't forgiving him, he didn't forgive himself.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful because sometimes since the people won't forgive you, you won't forgive you.
Yeah.
And the people won't accept that this is the last time you're going to do whatever it is you fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And every time the people see you, they whisper about what you used to do, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, you'll ease on into a corner and ease on out the door because the people are still talking about what you did. We're still talking about Judas today.
Yeah. That's true. Yep.
And in turn, he never turned to the Father and said, you know, I'm wrong. It's just the people when he went to them, and we got people that we know that we turn. We you know, the Lord turns us, but we have people we know. We let them. I've let people turn me for far too long. If you're not careful, you let people turn you, and their attitude becomes your attitude. And you're looking to them when you think you're right. You're looking to see if you won't get their nod.
Yes, get an applause. Yeah.
And if you don't get their nod, you walk away discouraged and dejected, like their God.
Yeah.
And when Judas he figured out it was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
But he expected the people to say, Give us back the silver. You're right. We shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done this. And when they said to him, that's your problem.
Yeah.
You know why? Because people can't blot out our iniquities.
Yeah.
And people can't blot out our sins. And since you can't blot out my iniquities and can't blot out my sins, you can't make them stay on me either.
That's right.
That's you can't hold me to them either.
That's right.
If I go to God, you can let your memory be the memory of 1,000 elephants. And you can remember what I did to times get better. But as far as God is concerned, when I repent, when I ask God to blot them out, they are gone.
Amen. Yes.
And the lesson you need to learn, now you can turn over and look at Peter. I mean, now you can look at Peter because we already looked at. Look at, what was that? That was
Matthew.
That was Matthew. Look at Luke chapter 22.
Luke 22. And, yeah, this is something that, this is why we need all four Gospels, Elder T. Sewell. Because Luke says something that none of the other Gospels catches. And we read about Peter repenting, and we read about him going out weeping bitterly. But Luke sticks a point in here, and in Luke chapter 22, in about verse number, we'll start with about 59. And one of the things I want to say about Peter, too, because I've heard this, and it's the truth is the truth. I'm not gonna say that Peter wasn't among people who weren't with Jesus, and you have to make sure you're not among people who are not with God. Don't be in the world. I'm not gonna say that's not good. That's true. But to use Peter as an example, let's be honest about it. You know why Peter was out there by that fire? Number one is you need to read the scripture that says that Peter ran along behind him to see the end. He wanted to see what was going to happen.
Yes.
And when he got there and they were handling Jesus like they were and they arrested him because Jesus had already told them they need to be afraid because, when they came for them, it was going to come for the disciples too. Man is scared.
Yes, yes.
And the scriptures say that Peter reacted the way he did because he went back into the world. Peter didn't know those people.
Yeah.
That's why they said, you sound like you were with him.
Yeah.
And somebody else said, I think I saw you with him. But he didn't become comrades with those people. He was just sitting there by the fire. And when they asked him, did he know Jesus, he had to do flight or fight. And he decided, I'm going to flee. And I'm going to say, no, I don't know him. And it didn't mean that he had forgotten about the miracles and he had forgotten about everything. He didn't even know these people. He said, I don't know him because, by now, if they're hauling him off the jail, they're going to haul everybody off that knows him.
Yeah.
And Jesus had already said, you're going to be very afraid tonight because things are going to be difficult.
Right, yes.
And so Peter, in 59, Luke 22 and 59, about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. We'll start at where he did. Start at 54. And they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. He's hiding out. And when the maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. Peter said, I don't want to be in this tonight. I don't want to be a part of this tonight. He's not saying, hey, I'm going back. I'm protecting myself. I'm hiding out.
Yes.
And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter says, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter says, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he had spake, the cock crew.
Yes.
But then something happens. And everybody say, then something happens.
Then something happened.
And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. When Peter says, I don't know him the last time, at this particular time, I guess they were leading Jesus out of the hall or whatever they were doing. But when Peter looks up, Jesus is looking right at him.
Yeah.
You know what it's like when the Holy Ghost comes in and says to you, you're wrong. You should be so glad because God sees you.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes when you are doing things, if it's hidden from the people, you are not worried about it. And Peter is sitting here. He's not. I will not say that Peter's planning on joining these people and becoming these people or any of these things. He's just hiding out because he's fearing for his life. And he denies Jesus. And then when he looks at him, and when he looks up, the Lord looks at him and he remembers what the Lord said to him. How he was going to turn against him in the course of the night. And he does something about it. He says, and he remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Yeah.
And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Went out and cried out.
Yeah.
wept bitterly.
Yes.
Now there's something else you need to remember. Jesus goes into the cross the next day. He's buried late Wednesday afternoon.
Yes.
Then on Saturday night, he's resurrected.
Yes.
And one of them, I don't know if it's Luke or not, but I'll see. One of them, when he's resurrected, he says to them, "Oh, go tell the 11 that he's resurrected, and tell Peter."
Yeah.
"And tell Peter." Let me see which one is that. And it's not in Luke, so let me look at Matthew, see if that's the one where he said, "Go tell Peter. And I'll tell you why." I'm almost finished. See which one it is. They said, "Go tell the disciples and tell Peter." Names him specifically. In Mark 15, okay. See why they had to have all four of them? Because not all of them put that in there. But it's always true. And there was one name, let me say, Mark 15 and what?
Mark 16,
Bishop. Huh?
Mark 16.
Oh, yeah. I have it highlighted, as a matter of fact. Thank you, Elder Sewell. Go ye into all... No, wait, dang it. Mark 16, you said?
Yeah, and he said tell the disciples and Peter.
Yeah, which verse?
7.
Okay. Oh, but go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. And the reason why he says tell Peter specifically is because he wants to make sure Peter's there.
Yeah.
And Peter is aware that he's risen. Now, all of them have given up. All of them have given up. But Peter has made such a disaster. When he denies him, and he wants to make sure that Peter is there. Then he goes down to the part, now who can find the next one, where he comes in and breathes on them and says, "Now you're clean." Who got that one? And?
John 20:22.
See, Sewell says, "I'm the person who knows the Bible." She got it. 20 and 22. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost."
Yeah.
"Whosoever sins remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins retained, they are retained." All of you who would ask the Lord to forgive you, they are remitted and they're gone. He breathes on them. Now, last point for tonight. Let's look at what we got. We got Judas, who, when he goes out and repents, it's a problem because the people don't accept his repentance. And I'm telling you that so that when you ask God to forgive you tonight, you're not going to worry about whether the people are going to accept it or not. When you ask God to forgive you, go on in
God. Yes.
Because people will talk about it forever.
Yes.
And you will leave the church because of what the people are saying. And you will stop being in God because of what the people are saying. They'll shut you down.
Yeah.
Because they won't accept what you. They won't accept your repentance, and they'll say, "You were, yeah, well, you just wrong. What you want me to tell you? You did it." But you need the one who will blot them out.
Yes, yes.
When the times of refreshing will come from the, when the Holy Ghost comes, He'll blot them out.
Yes.
And remember them no more. You want the one in Hebrews, and I didn't even finish reading it, did I? He'll give you a new covenant. He says, "Thy sins will I forgive you. I'll blot them out and remember them no more."
Yeah.
Takes them out of existence. I want every one of us, if you've ever repented of anything, and if you're in God, you surely have, of all those things that hang around in the background of your mind, and you're wondering if the people remember them or not when you're going among them. You say, "Well, you know, they remember how I did this, and they're going to always remember I'm the one that betrayed them, and I'm the one who did all these kind of things." Yeah, they're going to remember. Let them. And go on in God.
Amen.
Because they're not the one who's blotting them out.
Yeah.
And they're not the one who's washing you.
Yes.
And then get up and go on in God.
Yeah.
And Peter gets up and runs on in God. Mm-hmm. By the time, and if anybody knows in Acts, repent, that your sins will be blotted out. Peter knows about repenting and it says, so when Jesus comes back, now here's the thing. Number one, when Jesus comes out that door, Chandra, and looks at Peter, you need to know when God brings it to your mind that you're wrong. God is looking at you.
Yes.
And when you need to know if you're somebody that's worth God looking at, and you recognize that God is looking at you, you need to do like Peter. You need to repent.
Amen.
And then, as Peter says, because he tells him in Acts, he says, and that in the times of refreshing, you see, because Peter has to wait 3 days before the refreshing. Now, for us, when we get on our knees and we cry out to God, the Lord will come in, the Holy Ghost will come in, and he'll wash us right then, right on the spot. Could have done it for Peter, but since Peter, in these 3 days, they're not believing Jesus is the Savior.
Yeah.
And the law's done. Yeah. It's nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
But if you'll wait on the Lord, praise his holy name.
Yeah.
If you'll repent and wait on God, God will show up like Jesus showed up and he came to Peter. And when he came back, he hadn't forgotten Peter and what he had done. God has not forgotten you, and God will send the Holy Ghost. God will send the Word. God will send somebody to say to you, you need to come on back because God is all right with you. Everything will be all right. And he tells me, he says, and Peter in particular, he knew he'd find the rest of them, but he wanted Peter to, because, you know, sometimes if you let it, when you're wrong, people will say, won't you come on and go to dinner with us? Won't you come on and be, and you yourself will separate yourself because you feel like you haven't been forgiven. And you'll say, well, no, I don't feel like I belong anymore. And by now, Peter is probably feeling like I don't belong anymore. Because John, he might have ran, but he didn't deny you. And Thomas ran, but he didn't deny you. And Matthew ran, but he didn't deny you. And the list is long. And I don't have I'm not honorable like the rest of you. You might have went and hid out, but you didn't do anything. Jesus didn't catch you doing something you had no business doing. And I just don't fit in anymore. So, well, won't you come to Bible study? Well, you know, I just feel like everybody there is just deeper than me. And I just feel like, no, they've repented. They've used the same blood you have to use. Won't you come back to church? Well, you know, I think I just probably need to go find me someplace new or something like that where people don't know. Wherever you move, you take you with you.
Yeah, that's right.
You're still going to have your sins blotted out.
Yes.
And then when you give them to God instead of running, and the Lord blots them out because, you know, Peter's not the only one. When you read in Psalms, in the night, all my scriptures aren't coming to me, but I'm going to tell you this. David wrote in Psalms in one place, he asked God, he said, seek for your servant. Find me. He said, because sometimes, you know, it's like a shepherd looks for a lamb. When a lamb is lost, they're not looking for the shepherd. They're just wandering around. And the shepherd has to go out and find them. And bring them back to God. And when this angel came, when he was talking to them, to the women, he says, go find the disciples. Tell them, I'm going to meet them in Galilee. Or was it Jesus speaking? And find Peter. Make sure you bring Peter, because by now, Peter probably feels like I'm on the outside looking in. The Lord will find you. And when he comes in, he doesn't even ask any of them, why did you give up? Why aren't you believing? He just comes in and breathes on them. And saves them all over again. Washes them all over again. When you come to God and ask God to forgive you, God doesn't say, well, why'd you do it? There's no inquisition. You know, the people, you have to explain yourself. I don't have to explain myself to God. He knows that it's just wrong. The part that God is concerned about is that you get it right. And when Peter looks up and Jesus is looking, it's more than he can bear. You need to be so glad tonight that the Lord looks at you from time to time. You need to be glad that when you are wrong, God will look at you from time to time. And so how do I know he's looking at it? Because he brings it to your mind. It's not the devil who tells you you're wrong, you need to stop. It's God. It's the Holy Ghost who comes in and reminds you, but the Lord will forgive you. And stay away from people who claim that you're all, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm always a sinner. Well, you're either a sinner or a saint. If your sins are forgiven and you wash, you're sin free. Go free. Stop being in the middle. Everybody got a little something. Hey, no, let your something be something you did today, because yesterday you should have repented for.
Yes. That's right, yes.
Well, we all got something. No, you got something. Yeah. I'm going to go to God, and whatever I got that's not right, then what you, so you must be planning on praying every day. I do.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
why you need to, too.
Two, yes.
Then when God blots it out,
yeah.
don't worry about it. 2 Corinthians, when Paul was talking about, we must all stand before the seat, for the judgment seat.
Yeah.
That we have to, how does he say it? To give an account for the things good in our body, whether good or bad.
Yes.
It's not the saint who goes and has to explain to God why he did bad things. If he makes it to heaven and is part of that church that goes up without spot or blemish or without spot or wrinkle, you're standing there and you're giving an account for the things that are good in your body.
Yes.
It's the ones who show up 1,000 years late.
Yeah.
who have to explain to God for the bad they've done in their body.
Yes.
Keep hearing it preached all over. Well, y'all know we gotta. You better not do this because we get to heaven. We gonna have to make an account for all the bad things we've done in our body. You still got bad things left. You're not going.
Oh, that's right.
You need to have you. This is the reason why you need to. We need to repent and pray, and then don't worry about the people, because some people are going to remember every bad thing about. They're not going to remember the days that you prayed a good prayer,
yeah.
and they're not going to remember how you showed up and picked them up on the highway when the car was broke down, and they're not going. And they're sure ain't going to remember all these offerings that you raked and scraped and didn't have enough money to buy. You're not living in a big house. You live in a small house, but you're giving them an offering every year. They're not going to remember how you've done all these great things you've done in the house of God, how you ushered, how you sung, how you sweated out, how you cried, and all the time you've been in God. The only thing they remember about is the one bad thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And every time they see you, they can't see the Holy Ghost in you. They
yes.
can't see how you've been washed. They
yes.
can't see how you've been redeemed. The only thing that comes yeah. to their mind is what you did. What's on their minds?
Yeah, same dirt.
But you're not going to stop me from going on.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to make up your mind.
Yeah.
Yes. If I, because there's not a person sitting in anybody's church anywhere who hasn't repented. There's not a person on the roll that's written in heaven who hasn't had to use the blood.
That's right.
More than once.
That's right.
And for all the people, wherever they are, the next time any of us, you see somebody who's ashamed to come to church because whatever, tell them, say, look, no, your sins have been blotted out.
Right. Yes.
And if God ain't hanging on to them, neither am I. And
that's
me.
That's right. Amen.
Let them know. So won't you come? We're gonna have a fellowship and a picnic. The saints would love to see you. Do you know how many young people I've ran into over the years that we've invited to picnics and this is and that and the others? And they would probably like to see the people, and they say hello, or they show up at the end, and they're on the edge of the parking lot someplace, and everybody goes over to speak to them and to hug them, because they're afraid to come into the mix, because they're concerned about how we feel about them. They ought not feel that way, and we ought not make them feel that way.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right, Bishop.
We should not. Unless we don't believe ourselves that when your sins are blotted out,
right.
you're justified. And if you don't believe that they're blotted out, then you're not justified either.
Amen.
Same blood.
To be justified means to be made not guilty.
Not guilty. Amen.
Not, I paid the penalty for doing it. No, that ain't what it means. It means not guilty.
Not guilty.
It doesn't mean innocent to proven guilty. It means not guilty.
Not guilty. Yes.
It doesn't mean I've been acquitted.
Yeah.
Without a verdict.
Yeah.
No, God doesn't have a hung jury. God, either you're guilty or you're not.
Yes.
And when God forgives you of your sins, you are pronounced not guilty. You didn't do it. It's undone.
Yes.
It's blotted out.
Yeah.
It goes away.
Yeah.
Now, the people with their little weak minds, they can do what they want. When Judas came back to the high priest, it says in the Bible the man had changed his mind because it says he repented. But he just didn't go to God with it.
Yeah.
And maybe. And now it's speculative, so you know this part don't say, but I get it. Who did he come to when he got ready to change his mind? He came to church.
Sweet. Yeah.
And said, I'm wrong.
Wrong, yes.
I need to give you this money back.
Yeah.
It's not the right thing to do. And maybe he expected them to say, all right, Judas, go bring a bullock, go bring a cow, go do whatever you need to do, and you'll be all right. And you're in the church telling him, hey, that's your problem.
Problem, yes.
Shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
That's on you.
Right. That's on you, yep.
And since the church turned him out, he wouldn't hug himself.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hang myself. Y'all put me out, lock the door, build a wall around it, do whatever you want to. I'll find some way to get to God.
Yes, amen.
And if nobody won't speak to me in this church, I'll find a church where they do. Say, well, you know, the truth will follow you. They'll find out over there. No, somewhere, somewhere there's somebody that when you tell them about somebody's past, they're going to say the past is the past.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Somewhere, there are people right now who we know sitting up in churches where the people are saying to them, you're all right.
You're all right.
If
you're
God
right.
has forgiven you, so have
how
we.
About we are.
And we, you know, we're, you know, this, you know, you're set up in a church and you'll think you're holding out, but you're shunning people and they're banned forever. And what you don't know is you're the only one got the ban. They've gone on someplace else. They're going on in God.
Yes.
Because God has never banned anybody but the devil.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And all those who are here.
Yes.
We got to have the mindset tonight for whatever we're going through. You've asked God to forgive you. That's what God has done.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And it might take the people a while longer. I'm not going to put all the blame on them because we are mortals after all.
Oh, yes.
We might have a hard time adjusting, but go on in God. What I'm telling you is don't leave God because the people haven't forgiven you.
Yes.
Don't not have anything to do with God because you can't get the people's approval.
Yes.
Go on in God.
God. Amen.
Know that when you ask the Lord to forgive you, your sins are blotted out.
Yes.
If you will come to God and you will be converted,
yes.
Change of mind.
Change of mind. Yes.
And ask God, repent, tell the Lord it was the wrong thing to do, and ask God to give you a fresh start and a new start. God will do it.
Amen.
And then let the people sit up there and look like they're sucking on lemons forever. But you know one thing, between you and God, you're all right.
Right. Amen.
If they never call you to sing, you can say, well, I can sing in my own house. But I can't do nothing. I can sing driving down the highway. But between me and God, we're all right.
All right.
And
all
I'm going to tell you this, but I'll tell you this, though. When you make up your mind you're all right with God, God will find a place for you.
For you, yes.
You won't have to dwell among people who won't have anything to do with you long because God will open the door.
Yes.
Because God knows how to work things out, and God knows how to work things right, how to make things right.
Right, amen.
And if this group over here won't have you, God will have you. He said, well, how do you know that? Because when the Jews wouldn't listen to Paul, he said, you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. I'm going to the Gentiles. You don't want to preach in your church, I'll go preach it now.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
That's the way of the Lord.
Yes.
And God used them mightily.
Amen.
And God will use you more. Who do we think we are? We can sit down on folks and fold our arms and act like we don't like them or whatever. You know, that's the most ridiculous thing. You need to repent yourself.
Yes, yes. That's true.
All these Gentiles, all these priests, when Judas went back to them, told them, hey, look, what I did was wrong. And they told Judas, hey, that's your problem. They didn't get right either.
No.
I want to encourage everybody tonight, as I'm finishing, I'm going to pray. If you've asked God to forgive you, you really meant it. Don't look to the people to figure out whether or not he's done it or not. Have faith in God.
Amen.
Have faith in God. Because the people will hold a grudge forever.
Ever. Yes.
Have faith in God. Trust in God. Do like Peter. He wept and cried. And Jesus was so concerned about him. It is, you know, Jesus is so concerned about Peter that he wanted to make sure that Peter, when he met with all of them, when he got with all of them, he wanted to make sure that Peter was in the mix.
Yeah.
He's the good shepherd.
He's a good shepherd.
All those that come, he's the good shepherd. He had that flock, but there was one that he was concerned about that was drifting.
Yes, yeah. Amen.
That's the way of the Lord.
The way of the Lord, yes. Amen.
It's a little song. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. It says, I was sinking when nothing else could help. Shore, very deeply stained within, yes. seeking to rise no more. Then the master of the sea heard my
people cry, barren cry.
From the waters he lifted me, now safe am I.
Yes.
This is what we need to remember. If all of us who are preachers, when we preach, listen, saints of God, listen to all of us who preach and all of us who witness and whatever. Don't preach the forgiveness of Christ and then not do it.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, if you don't preach that Jesus saves and then when it's your turn to be the brightness of his glory and for people to see Jesus in you, then you not do it.
Amen.
Don't help the people turn against somebody because you don't like what they did.
Amen. Yes.
You're the very one who, as the Bible says, let those of the spiritual restore them.
Yes,
and spiritual people are the people that know that God forgives.
Yes,
we know it more than anybody else.
Yes.
Because in our spiritual walk, we have probably been forgiven more than anybody else.
Amen.
So why is that? Were you the biggest sinner? No, we're the ones who went to enjoy the forgiveness. You know, it isn't that some of us have been washed many more times than others. It's that by the grace of God, by the cause of the Spirit of God, we recognize that we need it. Some people are walking around who need to ask God to forgive them.
Yes.
And I know some people who right now need the Lord to come in, and they need to ask God to forgive them. And they aren't doing it because they haven't seen Jesus look at them and what they're doing yet. They don't sense his eyes
on them. Yeah.
Seeing them and what they're doing. But when Peter looked up and Jesus was looking at him, it was all over.
Yes.
Man, it was done.
Done. Oh, amen. Yes.
Everybody stand. Father, come before in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I thank you so much, Father, for the word of God. I thank you for the washing, renewing, regeneration of the word of God. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, for whom you have ordained and given to us for the remission of sins. Lord, we thank you so much for it. He's such a perfect sacrifice. And Lord, we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who imparts into us the Word of God, the revelation of the Word of God, so that we would know what we must do when we are out of favor with the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much, O precious God, Jehovah God. The Lord, when we call upon your name and ask you to forgive us, Lord, you're a faithful God and will forgive us. Wash us and cleanse us. The blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, cleansing us from all of our sins. Lord, we thank you so much, O God, for you made a way. Lord, that we would have peace with God.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, that means more to us than anything else. Lord, you've made a way that, Lord, even in our lowest state, Lord, you made a way, Lord, that we could be justified. Lord, that we could be part of that glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. The reason why, Lord, we can be part of it is because, Lord, you take the spots out. You take the wrinkles out, oh God. Lord, you're the one who makes us blameless, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, we glorify your name.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, anoint us to preach to every man and every woman and everyone who would come. To come unto God and repent that their sins may be blotted out. Lord, whether they're blotted out at the time of salvation or as they go through life, keep returning to God.
Yes.
So the Lord will keep you clean.
Yes.
Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, we ask you tonight, Lord, to heal tonight. Lord, touch Ella T. Angela Rogers tonight. And touch Paul Timaeus tonight. Say to the Lord, rebuke you with these unclean spirits and these allergies and all those. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Loose your hold in the name of Jesus. And Lord, remember Alicia tonight.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, give her a great work. Lord, I pray, Lord, give her a miracle of miracles.
Yes, Lord.
That men and women would see and would say it is marvelous. And look what the Lord has done.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for Mother Ware tonight, Lord, and how you have taken away the spots. And I thank you tonight for Ellen Smith, Lord, how you caused all the wounds to close up, oh God. Lord, one time I looked at them and I thought, Lord, she needs a miracle because they looked like they were just so open and so horrible.
Yes.
But Lord, you have come in, oh God, and I thank you so much. Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch Ella Deborah's soul tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just go before us and heal and deliver according to the word of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we taught the word of God a great plainness of speech tonight and without error so that the Spirit of God will move.
Yes.
God, remove for Sister Nancy tonight. in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch Michael tonight.
Yes.
All those who are sick and have in any way, all those, Lord, give a perfect soundness in Jesus' name. Remember India tonight, oh God. The test that she has to go through, oh Lord. God, remember all of us in Promise, and then in the Valley, New Covenant, every church where your name is called, and Emmanuel, God. Work things out for Emmanuel, God. Put your name there once again, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Lord, bless us as we come into this weekend. Be with us and be in the midst and move by great signs and wonders and give us boldness to speak, Lord, and preach by stretching forth our hand to heal and by moving by signs and wonders in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And Lord, we'll glorify your name. And Lord, for all of us, Lord, who are feeling any guilt, any condemnation, Lord, let us run before the throne of God. Let us draw nigh. Lord, wash us and cleanse us and blot our sins out. Forgive us and give us a clean heart, O God. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.